Hey folks, you're listening to the Life Scan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balance podcast with Dr. Donnie and my co-host, Chief Todd LeDuc. Episode 113.
Welcome to the Get Balance podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balance program. Let's get started.
And it is another great honor to be co-hosting with Chief Todd LeDuc. And Chief, let me kick it over to you and introduce our guest for today, please.
Thanks, Donnie. I appreciate again, another great opportunity for us to have hopefully a fun and exciting dialogue today with not only a colleague, but a friend. Without further ado, I'll just jump right into introducing. So today we've got a great guest. It's Chief of Department of the Loudoun County Fire Rescue System in Loudoun County, Virginia. And Keith Johnson is joining us. I also want to note for our listeners, Chief Johnson just finished up. I can see he looks a little refreshed now, a little bit more so, finished up a very successful term as the president of the Virginia Fire Chiefs Association, and had an opportunity to see some of the work that they have been doing over the last year at their recent conference in Virginia Beach. Very impressive to see the amount of good, solid work that's being done on behalf of the men and women of the Virginia Fire Service. So we'll talk about that in a second. I want to just first of all welcome Chief Johnson. Welcome to the podcast today. We're thrilled to have you.
Thanks for having me, and I look forward to seeing the engaging with you. And again, highlight the good friend part. So thanks for having a great relationship.
Absolutely. And we're taping this the week of the Center for Performance Center Excellence Conference. I'm looking forward to seeing some of your folks down in Orlando this week as well, and continuing to hear the great work that's going on up in Loudoun. So why don't, if I could, let me ask you, Donnie reminds me every episode before we get started, that we've got hundreds of listeners from coast to coast, across the country, but even more interestingly, I guess, the power of the internet, of social media today, is we have international listeners as well. So if you could maybe just introduce yourself and tell us and our listeners a little bit about your journey, how you get into the fire service, what prompted you, motivated you to join the ranks of the service, and then your time and how you've actually touched, I believe, several departments, and your tenure, where you're at currently in the seat that you are in Loudoun. So help our audience learn a little about your journey.
Well, thank you, Todd. And it's something I pinch myself every day that I get to do this job and love what I do. My journey really started back in Long Island, New York, as a volunteer. And I was 18 years old and applied to become a firefighter in Fairfax County, where I was first employed. But I'm a fourth generation firefighter. So I started as a volunteer. It's been a family event. I think I was raised in the firehouse in North Merrick, Long Island, for those of listeners that know where that is. I'm very proud of my heritage. And, I applied for Fairfax back in, started in 1983, recruits class 59. And, did 30 years in Fairfax. I rose my way up to the ranks of deputy chief when I left there, and worked my way up in many of the, I oversaw special operations, support services, training, and a number of areas. Was proud to be a member of the urban search and rescue team in Fairfax County, and oversaw that division for a while. And just proud of all the accomplishments I had. Then the opportunity came here to Loudoun. They had never had assistant chiefs in Loudoun, so they were hiring two, and myself and Assistant Chief Matt Toby at the time came and worked here. I was the Assistant Chief of Operations. And then Chief Brower, who was the System Chief here, retired, And then I went through the process of being nationwide process and became chief in 2018 and have been chief ever since. So that was, you know, my quick journey. I still maintain all my credentials of being a fire marshal in the Commonwealth, a fire investigator and so forth. But really coming to Loudoun, even though we share our border, our counties with Fairfax and Loudoun, it is a much different system here. It's a very, very large combination system. Loudoun County covers 520 square miles. And we have a population of over 420,000 that, again, Loudoun's been known for the fastest growing county in America for a number of years. We get the notion of many times being the highest median income, which is not always a good notion. It lives up to your expectations. But I'm really proud to work for Loudoun County. We are growing at light speed. And that's a good problem to have for a fire chief, especially when you get the support of our county administrator, Tim Hemstreet, and our board of supervisors, who absolutely support public safety and make that priority one. So really, it's a blessing to me to have their support. And I'm able to, have a system now that has over 700 career personnel and probably over 800 volunteers administratively and operationally that support our great system. So we have 20 fire stations in Loudoun County now. We're in the process of building our 21st, and then we have three more planned after that. So again, this is a system that's growing both in population, both in density, and then also we're trying to keep up with that growth here in fire and rescue. So quite an operation.
Yeah, having had the honor of spending a short amount of time in your shop occasionally when I've been up visiting at the IFC or some other departments that are neighboring, it's just tremendous what you've been able to build there as a team. It would be not unheard of to say you don't see a lot of combination departments as large in major metro areas, serving a population that is in the Northern Virginia metro, Washington, D.C. And it kind of all works. You make it all come together. I'm sure you, like any system, have unique challenges. But, one of the things that struck me, and I've had the opportunity not only to spend time with yourself, but Chief Williams, work with him closely with the First Responder Center of Excellence. But you all, when I was up there, I had the opportunity to tour and I think actually meet some of your folks that were focusing a lot on the physical and mental wellness of your members. And I know that's certainly included the behavioral health space. I know I was on a call yesterday with Chief Williams. He was very proud of some of the advanced cardiac testing that's been implemented. And in the same with your whole commitment to firefighter fitness and the physical aspect. Can you talk a little bit about, with all the competing priorities? I know you mentioned you're growing, you're adding stations, you're adding personnel. I'm sure you have the same challenges of volunteerism as other departments maybe have. But with all that on the radar screen, talk a little bit about the focus on health and wellness.
Yeah, absolutely. So really, I would say in about 2018, prior to Chief Brower leaving and me coming on board, we really started to take a holistic view at our health and wellness. And I mean, holistic view. It's not just about the physical health. It's not just about the mental health and all that. It's all of that put together. So really in about 2018 and then in 2019, we took possession of, and all this was planned, we took possession of a 88,000 square foot building right behind our headquarters building here that has now been known as our Loudoun County Center for Fitness, Wellness, and Support Services. So we conducted a build out of phase one, which is complete, where we include our staff, our health and safety captain that oversees our health and safety. We have our office for a wellness, our wellness manager and our health coordinator. I'll talk a little bit about that. But this phase one includes our CPAT facility, of course, with all the showers, locker rooms. It's a very large state-of-the-art fitness facility with cardio areas, and then a multifunction classroom that functions in the building. It also includes our an office for our chaplains program, and I'll talk a little bit about that. And our Flex Battalion Chief has a suite there, our battalion, what we know as our Battalion 4 suite. So now in design and currently waiting approval from the town of Leesburg is our phase two, which will include the bringing in of our fleet section, because they're in lease spaces right now, bring in fleet, logistics, we'll bring in our respiratory protection program. And then we have some apparatus storage, but some new initiatives that we're bringing on board is on-site. We're gonna be doing our own PPE cleaning. So we're not gonna be contracting that out. We're gonna do our own PPE cleaning in-house. And then we have a future area for to conduct our own space for NFPA or NFPA physicals. So again, as I spoke about in fiscal year 2019, we provided several enhancements beginning in that year for, we now employ our own behavioral health coordinator. This is a licensed clinician. It doesn't take the place of our employee assistance program that the county has, but it's a program and person that we can be to basically the first line of defense for persons in need, right? That may need mental health or some counseling. This is the clearinghouse, and that person works with a newly established peer support team, excuse me, that was also implemented, that her and her team actually handle these, you know, inquiries from our folks, whether it be behavioral, you know, in nature, mental in nature, somebody needing assistance. And we kind of do that screening, that scrubbing of information and get them to where they need to go to get better. We also employed a full-time wellness center manager. So this person has, you know, credentials in wellness and physical fitness, and works with our health and safety captain at our wellness center to, you know, provide fitness for our folks, develop training plans, works with our incoming recruits that we have. So that person, those two are also full-time enhancements that we have. We also hired a full-time person that does nothing but manage our physicals, our medical and NFPA 1582 medical exams for both the career and volunteer. So while we've always had career NFPA physicals for our career members, in 2021, we took the phenomenal great step of enacting physicals for our volunteer members. And as you can imagine, that's not an easy step. That was a very labor-intensive, lots of information, lots of uncertainty on the part of volunteers. But at the end of the day, they are fully embedded in our NFPA 1582 physicals. And that's a great thing that we enacted that in 2021. Just recently in February of this year, just 2022, we began advanced cardiac screening, which means that based on your year of anybody over 40 years old or that meets a certain criteria, we'll have to go through advanced cardiac screening, which includes an echocardiogram and a calcium CT test. So again, that is a great enhancement to our physical that can really look for cardiac issues that maybe your 1582 physical might not find. So we just began that, you know, the county, we appropriated the money for that, and we use a third party contractor to initiate that. So a couple other initiatives health and safety wise that we did back in 2019, we were awarded a $1.63 million grant from the Assistance to Firefighters Grant Program from FEMA for bringing in O2X. If you're familiar with O2X, they are O2X Human Performance. They're a Boston-based company that are formed by former Navy SEALs. And we put every one of our firefighters, our fire and EMS persons, through a four-day workshop that looks at holistic view of firefighter health and safety, looking at sleep patterns, nutrition, you know, physical fitness, all of that, yoga, psychology, and all of them went through a four-day workshop. And every new person recruit that comes into our fire and rescue department also goes to that four-day workshop. And then we look to do annual updates or refreshers with each of our folks. So we still maintain that contract with O2X that we're very pleased with our program and the benefits we receive like that. Again, talks about fitness, nutrition, behavioral health, stress management, mental performance, injury prevention, sleep management, all the above with that. So we continue to build out our center at 750 Miller Drive, what we call our center for that we spoke about, the fitness, wellness, and support services. We did initial training. We offered, when we did develop the center, we issued stress, trauma, and resiliency training for every one of our members as part of that bringing on the behavioral health coordinator. So you're never done. You just keep going. You find the new things to do. Loudoun County has always had a world-class chaplain program. So typically that was just chaplains in the local firehouse, local volunteer firehouse that would support members. Today, we actually dispatch our chaplains on calls. They are dispatched on every cardiac arrest, and they're basically not only there for us, but they're there for the family. And we're actually considering dispatching them on fires at this point now, where we may have a second alarm. We may look to dispatch the chaplains on fires to be able to help out not only us, but the families that are in need. So that was a big win for us of having a world-class chaplains program with that. So those are some of the things we're doing at our Center for Fitness, Wellness, and Support Services.
You know, that it's so refreshing. And I say this with the greatest amount of respect to our fire service brother and sisters across the country. And I'll be talking about it this week at the Excellence Conference on Thursday. But, you know, the NFPA just came out with the fifth national needs assessment. I got to be honest, at least from my perspective, as someone who's really, you know, focused nationally on health and wellness, it was a little disheartening to see some of the numbers, 60 some odd percent of departments, you know, without really robust health and wellness programs, same number, you know, without annual NFPA 1582 physicals. So Chief, hats off, and to our listeners out there, really an opportunity not to recreate the wheel. When you look at the Chief and his staff's approach, you said it yourself, kind of holistic, that 360 approach from behavioral to cardiac assessments, NFPA physicals, the O2X, used member hour and love their approach. And, you know, I learned something every time we do these, your chaplain C program and the opportunity to have that as a core tenant of taking care of not only our members, but our community that has tragic impacts that we all get affected by is tremendous. So, and you know, you're doing something special. When I was just at the Virginia Chiefs Conference, and you must have been very, very proud. I lost track how many awards you all got there. I was counting, but they are all well deserved. And I know one of them certainly was the behavioral health program that you've put in place, and you had your team there and your staff. So I know a proud moment for you as chief, I'm sure. And it happened during your tenure as the chief of the president of the Virginia Fire Chiefs as well. Right. So hats off to you and your team.
Todd, I would just offer that, you know, besides the human aspect, the person, we're really striving to look at the facility and apparatus side of it. So our standard here in Loudoun is that we place on all of our county-owned apparatus, and we encourage our volunteers to do the same. We use the vehicle-mounted diesel exhaust system, that we have on our apparatus, in addition to the indirect capture system. So all of our apparatus has the direct vehicle-mounted facility for capturing diesel, but we also go above and beyond that by putting the indirect scrubbers into the fire stations, into our new stations as well. All of our stations that we're building, and we're building tons of them. I just completed two brand new stations. We have one underway and two more getting ready to go out for bid. So we are really, our capital improvement project is really basically removing all of our old stations and building new ones. And we employ the hot, warm, cold design in our stations. So we're very adamant about, you know, keeping the dirty stuff out in the bays and out in the apparatus room, and then having that hot, warm, cold design where we have a natural transition from dirty to warm to decon and into cold, into the bunk rooms and things like that. So we've employed a lot of those into all of our new stations, having that that design, working with our architects to get that through as well. So pretty proud of the facility and apparatus side of what we're doing. As you may have known, if you go to YouTube, and we've enacted over the last year, put in service a brand new rehab unit. And this is a state-of-the-art rehabilitation unit. I'm so proud of our folks, because a lot of places get rehab units and they sometimes just sit, right? They called on special alarms. We actually put ours in service most every night with dedicated staffing. If not, it's cross-staffed, but our goal is to get it full-time staffed. But we assign a paramedic to that unit, or two people to that unit, and we dispatch it on all RIT task force and second alarm calls. But this is a world-class unit where folks are able to obviously go from dirty to cold through the decon process, and then get medically monitored, climately controlled, get some refreshments. But we have developed a whole, the folks in the field have developed an entire program around it, not just bought a vehicle, but we enacted a program where we take rehab very seriously on the fire ground. No one should leave the scene without going through rehab on a working fire. And, if you don't pass the medical monitoring criteria, you're not going back in service. And if so be it, you'll be transported to the hospital. So,
yeah, no, you hit on it again. I mean, that whole total systems approach, making sure we have all the pieces in place. And, I mentioned the being a little disheartened by the NFPA needs assessment, but it's also a great opportunity when we have departments such as yours that have done a lot of the groundwork to get these pieces all in place. And I know you're a strong proponent of sharing with other departments and with the industry. So for our listeners, I'd encourage, if you don't have all these components, it's a great opportunity to reach out. Loudoun being very unique as a large, not only career department, but also the volunteer department as well, combined. They've done a lot of the legwork don't reinvent the wheel. Take that opportunity to reach out and tap their brain and resources. Chief, I want to segue, and I know I want to just talk a little bit about, and I know this is going to prompt Donnie to ask, how the heck do you manage all this? Just from a personal standpoint, but you're just coming off a one-year tenure as the president, immediate past president of the Virginia Fire Chiefs Association. You held your annual conference with about, it looked like a large number that I unfortunately didn't get to spend as much time as I would have liked. We were over in Newport News at LifeScan is opening a lab within Newport News Fire and Police. But I had an opportunity to sit in on the board meeting and listen to a lot of what was going on around the state. And it's a very active association. I was wondering if you could just maybe touch on some of the highlights during your tenure as president and any challenges you may see going forward for the fire service in Virginia. And then, like I said, I'm sure, because I'm wondering, I know Donnie's going to probably want to jump in and say, how the heck have you managed all this? I'm sure you get a reprieve now with being the immediate past president, but I know you stay active. So it's a balancing act, I'm sure.
Yeah. So again, immediate past president, really, I'll come back to that in a minute. I still currently am vice chair of the Virginia Fire Service Board, who obviously works with the Department of Fire Programs. And part of that, I'm the liaison governor-appointed Board of Housing and Community Development, which promulgates all the fire and building codes in the Commonwealth. So that is a whole lot of work. But with the Virginia Fire Chiefs Association, I think we had really ramped up our legislative process in the Commonwealth, right? It's really, I tell people all the time, I can probably save more lives sometimes with one piece of legislation or one fire or building code than I can with a battalion full of people. And that's not to discount the people. It's the importance of the things that help us do our jobs. So we became very active during my tenure and before in the legislative process here in Virginia. And some examples of that, we work with the Virginia Professional Firefighters Association on the IFF in the cancer presumption and the PTSD, getting that covered as an occupational disease. And we've been very successful in Virginia with that. So now we do have PTSD covered as an occupational disease. We do have enhanced cancer presumption and a number of things that we've been very active with our state legislators and spend lots of time down in Richmond working on that. But it's really the foundation of it. We have really tried to improve our communication with all the fire chiefs around the Commonwealth. You mentioned our conference that we put on each year. Again, we were glad to have that back. We set a record this year for attendance. Obviously, people couldn't go last year because we canceled it because of COVID, but we set a record this year. We do an annual chief summit where the chiefs of departments can come and interact. We do a 2-day training summit for folks. We do golf tournaments and things of that nature because we have a very active foundation that provides scholarships and assistance to students of members. So we have a very active foundation. And then, you know, we just assist other area fire and rescue departments with sometimes they request studies and things of that nature. So again, we're advocates for all of our fire chiefs in the Commonwealth of Virginia. I really am so proud to be part of that organization, coming up through the ranks, obviously from second vice president all the way up, now immediate past president. It is quite an honor to be with that. But again, it doesn't end there. I'm very active with the, like I said, vice chair of the Fire Service Board in Virginia, but also that Board of Housing, which we're gearing up to enact the 2021 ICC code. So that is a major undertaking here in the Commonwealth that that I've been a big part of over the years. So, yeah.
So Chief, with all that activity, and Todd was teeing it up for me, of course, is that, can you talk to us a little bit about the personal side of you, personal life and family, I assume, or?
Yeah, I am married and have two older kids, and my oldest daughter, it's all in the family. She's a 911 dispatcher. And three grandkids, one on the way. But, you know, it really is, my wife actually works for a fire and rescue department in Frederick County, Virginia. She works in the fire marshal's office. So it somewhat is a family event. You know, it is, you have to try nowadays, right? With all the communication, the phones and the laptops and the computers, it really is hard to disengage. But, you know, I love the fire service and it's been my life. I don't know that I don't need to do anything else but the fire service. But I have a supportive family. I have a supportive network here. You know, I have great people that work in Loudoun County, both career and volunteer in our combined system. And really, you have to rely on the people you work with, right? I mean, ultimately, I learned one thing pretty early on, maybe day one when I became chief, that everything lands on your desk and nothing's easy that lands there, because if it was easy, somebody else would have done it. But you're supported by good people. And if you treat people right, they will treat you right. And they will support you. You know, it's not about me. This is not my department. It's our department, our system. And, you know, I try and involve our folks in the decision-making process. They're good people. They're very competent. And all those things that I talked about earlier, I didn't do them all. They obviously, people that work with me did that all. And it's been years in the making. So, you know, you do try and disengage and go home to the family. But again, it's somewhat hard, but I just enjoy doing it and enjoy being here, you know, in what I do.
And Chief, I think you've shared with me a little enclave that you have squirreled away that you, I know you're very proud of your boat. I don't know if you want to share the name of it, but I know that's going to be a little solace for you when you are able to get away and get some downtime.
I did. We, my wife and I bought a little piece of land and built a house down in the Outer Banks in Kildare Hills. And not that I'll ever retire there. I certainly like living here. And but it is a nice place to get out there. And I boat, which people say, right, the best and worst day is when you buy it and sell it. I don't know. I'm in between that period now. So I like to fish, like to get out on the water and so forth. So yeah, it's my little home away from home, but so that what helps me keeps me grounded and all good.
Yeah. Like you said, it is hard to unplug. And I joke with Donnie all the time that, you know, work-life balance for most of us, particularly as we go up in the leadership, ranks is always, at least for myself, a challenge. So when you have, you know, supportive family and the opportunity to decompress, you know, together and away from the job a little bit, knowing that you've got great, as you said, a great team in place that allows you to be able to do that, that's a blessing in and of itself.
And Donnie asked a little bit about what I did. You know, sometimes people ask, what's a little fun fact that most folks don't know about you? And, you know, since the early 90s, I know, you know, my good friend, Ed Klima, and Ed and I worked together for many years. I worked and I continue to work at the Dover International Speedway as a firefighter there, where I'm a crew chief, have been a crew chief on turn two. So where, you know, I get to go out and pull drivers out of cars after they wreck their cars and do all that good stuff. And I've been there doing that since the early 90s. So it's been a long time, a little bit of hobby of mine to do that, get away. I really enjoy the sport of NASCAR and supporting that. How much it's changed over the years. It's mind-boggling sometimes. But yeah, I get a little bit of a break when I go do that kind of stuff. So it was a pretty cool job to get paid to do something like that.
Oh, yeah.
That is neat. And again, that's one of the fun part about doing these interviews. I knew that little fun fact, but I'm sure a lot of our listeners that you don't see many fire chiefs doing that. So I love when you share that with our listening audience. I know we're again, I want to be mindful of time. I was actually texting Donnie as we were interviewing, saying this is probably going to end up, you've got so much wealth of knowledge in the work you're doing and have been doing, episode one, and we'll see if we can corral you to come back for episode two. But I want to be mindful of your time and ask you, we've covered a lot today, and you've had a tremendous career. I learned something I didn't realize. You're fourth generation and starting on the volunteer side. From all the different perspectives that you've shared with us today, whether that be, you know, the origin of your family, origins in the service, whether that be your volunteer service or your time at Fairfax, that's taking you down to Loudoun, and even your time with Virginia Chiefs. You've interacted with all different walks of life, elected officials, fellow chiefs, labor, volunteer leaders, the community. You know, a lot of our listeners are just beginning their career, or they're maybe junior officers in the career and trying to figure out what their next steps are and to better prepare them to serve. I wanted to ask you, from your vantage point of where you sit today, what if you had to give one leadership takeaway to our listeners, what would that be?
And I just gave this tip. We just finished an officer development school the other day with 10 either brand new or expiring officers. And I told them that it's all about opportunity. You've got to take the opportunities when they come to you. I see so many people nowadays that, you know, expect them to be handed things. And it's not about that, right? If you want to succeed, if you want to grow your knowledge base, if you want to aspire to become fire chief or whatever rank you want to be or do whatever you want to do, you got to take the opportunities and do that. You're not going to be paid for everything you do. You're not going to be, no one is going to knock on your door and provide you the opportunity. You got to go out and seek those opportunities. Whether it's education, I'm a huge proponent of education. I tell people that I got all three of my degrees after I came to work for the fire service, all the way up to my master's degree. That didn't happen by accident. I spent a lot of nights in firehouse studying and before I went home or taking classes on my own. And I just took every single opportunity I could to advance my education, advance my knowledge, to be the best firefighter I could be. And I do that today. I don't stop taking classes. So it's all about opportunity. You got to go out and seek those opportunities. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with being the best firefighter in the world, or if you want to be a lieutenant or a captain or whatever rank. I always tell people I never thought I would aspire to be a chief. That was never my goal. But, you know, things fell in place for me. I kept studying. I kept taking classes. I kept learning from people. And really, that's the, you know, academic side. And the personal side, I would just treat people like you want to be treated, as I always have tried to do all my whole career. I hopefully most people would say that I'm not much different as a chief than I was as a captain or a lieutenant or as a firefighter. I love to come to work every day. I love to smile. I love to joke and have fun, because I told the folks in the school the other day, if I come to work and just focus on the negative things, it's a long day. And that's not, nobody can survive that, right? Especially in my job, obviously a lot of things come across your desk. I really do try and focus on I get everybody to try and focus on the positive things we're doing. Don't sit around that kitchen table at the firehouse and just focus on the negative things. There are so many, I don't care what department you work for or where you volunteer, there's good stuff going on. So celebrate the highlights, think about the good stuff, celebrate your successes, and it makes days go by a lot better, a lot faster.
And for those listening out there, that's not just great career advice. I think that's great life advice as well, right? You know, treat people with respect, you know, opportunity, seize opportunities and be involved. And there's certainly enough good going on. I just look at all the work that you're doing up there to focus on the positives. So doesn't mean we don't have to deal with the other issues, but don't let it consume us and consume you as a leader. So Chief, I want to thank you for your time. I do want to obviously extend an invitation to have you back on. I know we could go on for probably the entire day talking about all the great stuff that you're doing. I'm looking forward to meeting some of your folks and some of your troops down at the Center for Public Safety Excellence Conference this week. And I want to thank you for always being willing to share with the fire service community. So thanks again.
Absolutely. Loudoun.gov/fire is our website. There's a way to email the PIO or myself on the website. And then there's lots of information there. Again, whatever I have, I'd be happy to share with anybody else in the fire service. That's what it's all about. So, and Todd, thank you again and Donnie, both of you, thank you for being great friends. All you do for the fire service, I mean, you obviously are a big part of LifeScan and that company, but you go well above and beyond of what you do for that company. You care about firefighters and their health and safety, and that's just admirable. So,
thanks, Chief. I appreciate those kind words, and I think that's a mutual passion that we both share, and I know Donnie's doing the same. Traveling around the country, he's got children now that are in the service. And so it's, I think just a common passion that we all have to, make it a little bit safer and a little bit maybe more resources than when we started. So thanks, we appreciate it. And stay safe until I see you again. And we'll certainly look forward to episode number 2 with you.
Absolutely. Sounds great. Thank you, guys. Thank you, everyone.
Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.